You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.
There's a lot of things that you may know about him. He was a pastor for 33 years as a senior pastor of Carson City Foursquare Church, a.k.a. the Fountainhead. He has been serving in as a staff pastor there for the last few years since he kind of switched roles with someone who was on his staff. They became the senior pastor. He became staff pastor. But before that, my dad was an associate pastor at this church back when it was called Life Center Church. He led small groups. He did just about everything you could do, led worship. He could do just about everything you could do in a serving capacity. And while he went to school for business and for many years was the business manager of Hale's Pharmacies until he and my mom took the plunge to sell the business and to move to Carson City and to establish a church there that ended up establishing a whole bunch of other churches and lots of stuff. What he would do is he would consistently fill his mind and his heart with God's word. And this was in reading the Bible, but it was also in listening to messages. And my dad's study and my bedroom were often the same room, especially when I was a kid, a little tiny kid. And I can remember listening. I'd wake up in the morning or be heading to bed at night, and my dad's listening to a message from Pastor Jack Hafer from Church on the Way. And I can still remember, you know, this is a message from the teaching ministry of the Soundboard Tape Ministry of Church on the Way, the First Foursquare Church of Van Nuys, California. In this Sunday morning a message, Pastor Jack Hafer speaks on the subject of, and it would be whatever. But he became a man of God's word by exposing himself to the truth of God's word over and over again. And that's really where he went to Bible college and learned the things he needs to know, but also to gain the stuff that the Holy Spirit will then use later on to apply and to lead us and to guide us as we share God's word with other people. And so it's an inspiration to me. I also never went to Bible college, but I have always been somebody who wants to learn by listening to good teaching and then by sharing that same type of good teaching with others. Because really, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. My dad is one of my heroes. I am so proud that he and my mom are a part of our church. And I'm so glad to have him sharing with you today because you're going to hear good stuff. Welcome, Pop.
Thank you, son. That's my boy. What a joy to be here. And some of you may see some new faces, Friends from Carson City are here today, Paul and Cheryl and Jeff. And so good to see you. And so good to see faces that are getting more and more familiar as we get to spend more time here. Been a joy to be able to come. I guess you could say I'm Pastor Louis 1.0, and your pastor is Pastor Louis 2.0, much better 2.0. The new system is always upgraded, and I tell you what, 2.0 is upgraded. I learn from him every time he teaches. I just come up and say, "You did so good," and I'm so thankful to be a part of it. And so glad to be here today in this capacity to be able to share the word with you. The title or the subject that I want to talk about this morning is, I've called it Holy Spirit Inspired Spontaneity. Now, this word spontaneity is something that has been in my mind for, well, I guess 2 or 3 months. Peggy and I work out in Carson City with a group of mostly retired people. And one of the things we do often as the class is about to start is the guy that leads the class, he'll say, "Okay, so that we keep getting to know one another, tell us your name and what you have planned for this weekend." So people say, "Hi, my name's Fred, and I got no plans for the weekend." "Hi, my name's Robert, I got no plans for the weekend." And pretty much, is that true of most retired people? "I don't have any plans." Anyway. It came around and I said, "You know, I don't really have any plans, but I'm not going to say I don't have any plans." So they say, I say, "Hi, my name's Louis. I'm going to be spontaneous." There's something about that of not having any plans and being spontaneous is you're ready for just about anything. And what I want us to think about today is this idea of being Holy Spirit inspired spontaneous or spontaneity, which means that we are always in tune to listening for the voice of the Lord, that we could be spontaneously doing something we didn't have plans for, But because the Holy Spirit is whispering that to us, then we can respond with that. How's that sound? One of the best examples that I just love the guy Philip. We see him in the book of Acts. Philip is a guy who was Holy Spirit inspired, spontaneous. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to open with me to Acts chapter 8. That's where we're going to be. You would have received some notes. You can use these for a further study later. I'm not going to be going through the notes. I'm just going to be looking at the word and speaking from that. But it'll be very close to what the notes have to say. Philip. He was also known as Philip the Evangelist. The first time we see Philip in Scripture is in Acts chapter 6. And following the growth of the church, it says in Acts 6, because, verse 2, the church was growing so fast that they couldn't handle the daily distribution of food for the widows. And so they said, the 12 apostles summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So we need to find some people to serve tables. We need to find people who will work in the food bank. Now, who do you look for if you want to find somebody to work in food bank? Anybody that'll volunteer, right? That's not what they said. They said, we want you to seek out from among yourselves seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and so that we can appoint them over the business, so that we can give ourselves to pray. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose, the Holy Spirit chose Stephen, who was full of faith, and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and others. You're familiar with Stephen? These guys were not lightweights. These guys were men that were full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom and so forth. That's the first time we see Philip. Next is over in chapter 8. Chapter 8, verses 4 to 8. This is after the persecution. The church was being scattered. And verse 4 says, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere, hiding wherever they could hide. No, that's not what it says, is it? So they were going everywhere preaching the word. The persecution of the church, the scattering of the church, was really a benefit because the gospel was there going forth wherever they were scattered to. So they went preaching everywhere. Verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. So Philip went to Samaria. Verse 6. Listen to this. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed, and the lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. It's interesting to see, he says, the multitudes heeded the things that Philip was preaching. So what we see is that with this scattering that there was, Philip was talking to multitudes of people. This is big time in terms of the spreading of the gospel. We won't go into it, but I encourage you to read the rest of that part of the chapter about Simon the sorcerer and how he responded to the gospel, but had a little baggage to go along with it, and it got dealt with. So if you go over to verse 26, this is where we're going to focus today, is Philip and his response and his example of being a Holy Spirit-inspired person. Okay? Here we go. Verse 26. Now the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and said, arise and go towards the south along the road which goes from Jerusalem to Gaza, and this is desert, or this is a deserted place. Now, what we see here is an angel saying to Philip, arise and go to a deserted place. Now, I don't know. I wish I knew Philip better. But I know myself enough to think there's times when you're used to speaking to the multitudes, you would be surprised if God is sending you to a deserted place. hey, just a minute, God. I've got a good thing. We've got a good thing going here. We've got multitudes responding to the gospel, and you're sending me to a deserted place. Now, I want to try to tie this into our own lives also, not just Philip, of saying there's times where things are going really well in your life, and God might say, I want you to go over here. And you look and say, that doesn't make sense. That's a deserted place. I don't want to go to a deserted place. I want to go to a fruitful place. Anybody agree, can identify with that? Now, Philip, we don't see that he argued at all with the voice of the Lord. It said he arose and went. That kind of Holy Spirit-inspired spontaneity is not only hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying, but doing it, responding to it. And clearly it says, and he arose and went. That immediate response to the voice of the Lord, as it says the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Verse 27, so he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. So he encounters this Ethiopian eunuch who had been to Jerusalem to worship and is very influential, in charge of, as it says, the treasury of Candace. And he was returning, and he was sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the book of Isaiah. So if you get the picture of a very nice chariot, you know, this is like the top of the line chariots of the day. And the Ethiopian is sitting there, having come from Jerusalem, interested in God, obviously, because he'd gone there to worship, it says. So he's sitting there reading Isaiah. So what a setup. The Spirit then, verse 29, said to Philip, go near, I want you to go to that chariot. And so here's Philip, what a setup. He says, Philip, I want you to go there and be near. So it's like the way that Philip is being led is like step by step. I don't know about you, but there's times when I get a directive from the Lord that I really want more detail than what I'm getting. When he first said, arise and go to the desert, I would have said, and then what? I think a lot of us would say, and then what? But he didn't say, and then what? He said, okay, he arose and went. So he finds himself in the desert, looks and sees a eunuch in a chariot, and God says to the Spirit of the Lord, says, go and overtake and stay near. Okay, next step. What after that? You only be obedient to what God has said. Don't then interpret and saying, oh, I know what God must be up to now. So thank you, God. I'll take it from here. I got the directives. We're on our way. No. Spontaneity is not a license for individual action. Spontaneity is saying, I am available to God, whatever you want to do. I will certainly get rid of my own plans when I hear what God's plan is, because his plans are always better. Though we can give him a pretty good argument sometimes. What do you think? Okay. So the Spirit said to Philip, go near, overtake the chariot, and be there. Okay, so he's up there and he's, okay, what do I do now? So Philip ran to him and heard that he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. Interesting. So he identifies, obviously Philip knows the scriptures, he knows this. And he says to the eunuch, do you understand what you're reading? You know, it's like God, the Holy Spirit didn't tell him at that point, okay, now ask him if he understands what he's reading. It was like you find yourself in an opportunity, in a situation that God has directed you to, and what a setup. I mean, here's a eunuch reading from the book of Isaiah, and Philip's there, and he says, okay, I'm here. What do I do now? What do we do then? What would you do? This is what Philip did. Do you know what you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch said, How can I understand unless somebody tells me, somebody teaches me, somebody guides me to understand this? And he asked Philip, come on up and sit down up here in the chariot with me and let's talk. And I think, wow. You know, it's like you find yourself by the step by step following the way that God is leading you, and you find yourself in a place where you realize that this is a God opportunity. This is something that God has orchestrated, and I find myself in the midst of it with no previous instructions, but only dependence on the Holy Spirit and my knowledge and knowledge of the person and life of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. So he says, okay, how can I understand? He says, come up and sit down. And the place in which the eunuch was reading was Isaiah 53. Said he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare this generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch looked at Philip and said, Who's he talking about? Who's the prophet talking about? He's talking about himself, or is he talking about somebody else? This next verse, verse 35, is absolutely pregnant. Here's what the scripture says. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him, or told him about the good news of Jesus Christ. The eunuch said what? The eunuch said, who is Isaiah talking about? Is he talking about himself, or is he talking about somebody else? Philip says, this is it. He opened his mouth. That's the key. There's times when we find ourselves in an opportunity and we keep our mouth shut. What do you say? What do I say? My friend Jerry Cook used to say, open your mouth and begin to talk. I know that sounds risky, doesn't it? Open your mouth and start talking. But if you are a son and daughter of the living God, filled with the Holy Spirit, on assignment from him, you can bet, you can know that what comes out of your mouth is something that the Holy Spirit is prompting. Open your mouth and speak. And this is what Philip did. He said he opened his mouth and spoke and preached Jesus to him. Now, New King James said, preach Jesus to him. Don't get the idea that then Philip all stood up and started preaching. He began telling him about Jesus. And I wish, this is one of those scriptures that I wish there was a footnote that had a recording of what he said to this eunuch. It's kind of like the conversation of Jesus and the guys on the road to Emmaus, when it says that Jesus opened the scriptures to them as they walked. And I thought, oh, if I could only hear what that was about. But this is another one of those instances where he opened his mouth and preached Jesus to him. The whole shot. And he even talked to him about being water baptized, because that's the next thing that the eunuch asks about. So this preaching Jesus to him was not just to get him to recite the sinner's prayer. This is telling him about the good news. Jesus Christ, the story of Jesus Christ is good news. And as we tell people about that, there can come a natural response, not just I got to close this deal. I got to have them say the sinner's prayer. No, you got to get people to begin to hear and respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit. The person of Jesus Christ becomes real to people, and then they want him. It's not trying to be manipulated to say certain words. It's to be led in an understanding, a beginning understanding of God's love and greatness. I want to stop right there for a second, because that song, Good God Almighty, the first time I heard it was here at about 6 months ago, I guess. And when Chris started singing that song, I was shocked. Because in my life, my mama didn't swear a lot, but she did swear some. And one of the things that she would say was, as this close to swearing was, Good God Almighty. And I always thought, you know, like, what on earth just happened? When Mama said, good God Almighty, it was like, look out, something's about to happen. And when Chris started that song and he said, good God Almighty, I'm going, oh no, what's going to happen? Is he swearing? What is this congregation they sing and swear? And then I realized, I listened to the words and I said, wait, this isn't swearing. They have redeemed my mom's cursing. Hallelujah. Mama, good God Almighty is a good thing. Mama, can you hear me? Anyway, I just, every time I sing that song, it's like almost, I don't know if you remember, it's like we have grandkids and great-grandkids now, and sometimes they'll say something and look to see if you heard what they said. And it's like I say, good God Almighty, and I'm looking to see if my mom heard what I said. Anyway, thank you, Lord, for that song. Anyway, let's get back to Philip. Good God Almighty. Hallelujah. He is good. Okay, Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Oh, they're going down the road in the chariot. Philip's just talking away, telling him about Jesus. Eunuch says, they went down the road and they came to some water. And the eunuch said, hey, here's some water. You know what you were talking about? Baptism, water baptism? There's water right here. Can I get baptized right now? Is this okay? And Philip said, well, if you believe with all your heart, you can. You believe in Jesus Christ, water baptism is an important thing to do. And if there's anybody here that has not yet been water baptized since believing, I would say take the next opportunity when I know water baptisms happen here often. And the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he baptized them. Hallelujah. Is that precious? Can you imagine Philip just like, never think that your investment in one person is unworthy. Philip, preaching to the multitudes with miracles, signs and wonders. Give me my Learjet. No, signs and wonders. Things were happening. God was moving. Where's the next big campaign? In the desert. And he went. And he didn't complain. One person, a eunuch. You got a problem with that? This Ethiopian was probably of a different skin color. You got a problem with that? God doesn't. In fact, history will say that this Ethiopian eunuch became the foundation of the church in Ethiopia. That God uses this person mightily in the days ahead. Your investment in one person, your willingness to tell somebody the good news about Jesus Christ. You don't have to win them. Jesus wins them. When they hear the good news, who would not? Somebody that is really stuck. And there are a lot of people that are really stuck. But that's not our problem. Our opportunity is to share with other people. Okay. Now, following the baptism, we have something in verse 39 that is pretty unique. It doesn't happen all the time. In fact, it rarely ever happens. They came up out of the water. You get the picture. In fact, I think I had a picture. They baptized, come up out of the water. What usually happens then? In baptism, I've been a part of, people are just happy. I encourage people, like when Jesus was baptized in the water, Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove and stayed on him. And people are generally really happy unless they're at Lake Tahoe and they're just trying to catch their breath, you know. Thank you. But they come up and I encourage people, expect to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Expect to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. Expect there to be a wonderful time as you come up out of the water. Well, They come, he baptizes a eunuch. Eunuch is probably thanking God and just saying, wow, this has been so wonderful. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. The Spirit of the Lord did what to Philip? Caught him away. This is the same verse, a verb that is used in Thessalonians where it says we will be caught up into the air. It's like a mini pre-one-person rapture for Philip. Baptized, and Philip disappears. Did it bother the eunuch? Doesn't sound so, because he said he went on rejoicing. So here, Philip disappears, and the eunuch goes, oh, well, hallelujah. Onward, here we go. So, whoa, beam me up, Scotty. Where is Philip now? He's been beamed up from the water baptism, and where is he being beamed down to? I mean, I'm just using the Star Trek lingo. You know what I'm saying. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. What? Can you imagine Philip baptizing? Next thing he knows, he's in a different town. Oh, well, here we are. Hallelujah. Let me tell you about Jesus. And he went about and preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Guess who he hangs out with? Philip. Says he stayed with him for a while. And I think, can you imagine? Philip is one that was alive and well and a believer while Saul of Tarsus was doing his evil stuff. And now you've heard stories about Paul, the apostle, and what God's doing in him. And he comes to town, and Philip says, come on over to my place. Let's hang out. Precious, isn't it? Well, let's make some personal applications to developing a hearing ear, a willing heart, to be more of a Holy Spirit-inspired, spontaneous person. One is, important thing, is the reading and the study and familiarity with the Word of God. We need to be familiar with God's Word. This book, I believe, is the Word of God. And every time I read it, I'm reading God's Word. And there's times that as we read, the Holy Spirit says, and this one's for you. And if not, it's just laying the foundation of understanding and knowledge of God. And so to become a spontaneous, Holy Spirit-inspired person, we need to have the foundation of the Word of God in our lives and a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit who is alive and with us and walks with us in these days. So that being that we need to be reading and knowing the Word of God to be familiar with His voice. Not only familiar to hear the voice of the Lord, but familiar to respond to what we hear. I mentioned this a few minutes ago. It's one thing to hear, it's another thing to obey. And again, my examples these days have more to do with grandkids than kids, because my kids are all grown. But it was certainly true of them at times. I also have a dog, two dogs, two labs, yellow labs. One of them's name is Bella. Bella Corona. We got her 2 years ago during the Corona pandemic. Well, Bella, I call her, she's a little loco. You know what loco means? In Spanish, what's it mean?
Crazy.
She's a little crazy. What's little in Spanish? Poco. So her nickname is Poco Loco. And I made up a little song about Poco Loco. It goes like this. Her name is Poco Loco. That's her name. She's a little crazy, but we love her just the same. Well, Poco Loco, there's times where if you mention food, cookie, those types of things, she is on it just like that. The other day she was sitting looking out into the hallway at I call her Mama, thinking that Mama might be, it might be time to feed, to get some food. Well, Bella's sitting there staring at her, and I said, Bella, Bella. And it's like, I don't hear you. No acknowledgement whatsoever that she's hearing what I'm saying. And I keep raising my voice, and still, it's that focused stare. I don't hear you. I'm looking for Mom for food. There's times where God can be speaking to us, and I don't know if we do it. Yeah, we do it intentionally. I don't hear you. I don't want to hear you because it's stretching me. It's pressing me. It's inconvenient. I know I failed at that before. Whatever it is along the way, we can say, Louis, I don't hear you, Lord. I don't say it. I just do like Lady did, or Bella. Lady's my other dog. Bella, she just keeps doing what she's doing. I don't hear you. To develop a willing heart to say, Lord, if I'm going to be spontaneous to the Holy Spirit, I need to be one who responds when I hear. Philip didn't have any trouble, it looks like, responding. When he heard it, he went. When he heard it, he did it. When he heard it, he was there. A couple of personal examples. Pastor Louis 2.0 is a lot like Pastor Louis 1.0 in terms of we're a bit quiet. We're not outgoing. What do they call that? Invert.
Extrovert.
Not an extrovert. Introvert. Kind of. I don't go looking for conversation. You know, I'm just quiet. Speaking like this is fine. But if you try to talk to me after service, it'll be fine. But when I'm a vet, I go to the VA for checkups, and a lot of guys from World War II and Korea and so forth will wear a hat, and it's embroidered with Korea or what battalion or where they served or whatever. One of the surest ways to open a conversation with a person, here's a hat right there. If I said to you, man, I sure like your hat. And if I say that to a vet at the VA, I sure like your hat. The door is open. We're talking about, I said, where did you serve? What did you see? And it's that open door that I found with vets who I love. I love to go to the VA. I feel bad that so many people are so hurt and torn up. But I'm so thankful that they're getting care. But to just know, I like your hat. It's an open door. Let's see, 2 days ago, I was at, I call it Sack and Spend. I think it's, what's the name of the store? Save Mart. I call it Sack and Spend. It's a grocery store in Carson. So I was in Sack and Spend, and I was there just picking up a few things. And a guy came by, and I saw him reach on the shelf and with one hand grab two cans of Spam and put them in his shopping cart. Now, as I remember, Peggy says that I've eaten Spam before. In fact, you know what she said we did at Carson City one time? You know, you've heard of chili cook-offs? We had a Spam cook-off for the church. Is that really true? How many of you have a good Spam recipe? Come on. Good. Well, anyway, I saw this guy grab two cans of Spam, put them in his cart, and I'm just going by and I go, oh man, he got two of them. And just like that, it was the Holy Spirit said, talk to him. And so I turned and said, Spam. You know, what? I opened my mouth and that's what came out. Spam. He says, yeah. I said, how do you cook it? And he said, oh, and his face lit up like I said you'd hit the lottery. He said, well, I like to air fry it, but you can cook it, you can broil it, you can fry it, you can barbecue it. He sounded like the guy from Forrest Gump. You know, you can cook, you can shrimp, you can cook, you can boil them. And he's going on all these ways you can cook Spam. And I'm just going, wow. How do you eat it? Do you put it like on a bun? Yeah, you can do that. You can put it on a bun. You can grind it up and make a taco. You can, and on and on. And said, this guy lit up on Spam. All I said was, Spam, how do you cook it? You know, I wish I could tell you that before we left, I water baptized him on the way out the store, but it didn't happen. But there was a camaraderie. I saw him at the checkout stand. He was right in front of me. He turned and said, hey, see you later. Try some Spam one day. You'll like it. Oh. But it was not normal for me to strike up a conversation with a total stranger about Spam or anything else. But it was one of those times where God said, talk to him. And I thought, okay. And without thinking, I just said, bam. I wonder, every service, after service, there are people who will be right back at that beautiful white thing to pray for you, to pray for whoever wants to go there. I know that the Holy Spirit has said to people here, I want you to be prayed for. I want you to go and ask them to pray for you. I want you to do that. And we say, I don't hear you. Or we say, it's no big deal. It's just a little thing. It's just, you know, what? I feel funny about asking people to pray for me. If I ask, has anybody ever heard the Lord direct you to be prayed for on a Sunday morning and you didn't do it? No? How many of you have ever been convicted of not telling the truth? I'm just saying, little things like that, God, Holy Spirit might say, I want you to go there today. It's no big thing. Don't just say, I felt like I would you pray for me? This morning I was sitting in Pastor Louis 2.0's office before service. And Cole came in and said, here's an order of service. Anything I can do for you? Can I pray for you? Anytime people say, can I pray for you? It's yes. I says, yes. What for? For peace. Got it. And he prayed for me. Just boom. People are here to pray. God works mightily when we pray. We believe that. But sometimes we hesitate when it's, not me. I'll pray for somebody, but not me. How many of you have had somebody come to mind and you're just like, and then you run into them at the store or something and say, I was just thinking about you. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah? Isn't that strange? You know, I don't believe in ESP unless I get to define the terms. And my terms are extra spiritual perception. And that is, I know that the Holy Spirit can whisper a name or something to me and to the other person at the same time. It's uncanny. There's days where I'm just thinking about whoever and they call me, or you run into them and say, I was just going to call you. And it's like, I was just going to call you. I was just. And it's like that kind of spiritual perception where God nudges us, whispers to us, and says, when somebody comes to mind, and you go, oh, well, I haven't thought about that person. I wonder how they're doing. Call them and ask them. Hey, I just thinking about you today. I just wanted to call and say, hey, how you doing? Or I just wanted to call. It's that question. It's that open door of, how do you cook that Spam? And if somebody calls and says, hey, I miss you. How you doing? It's an open door for response. It's an open door for God to do what he wants to do. You don't have to make it happen. Just open the door. Just ask how you cook it. How about one more, then we'll go. all of us have experienced pain, violation, situations that aren't fun. I don't know anybody that quickly can forgive and be free. You know, okay, I forgive you. And that is a powerful thing to do, is forgive those who have spitefully used you, messed with you, violated you. To forgive. But there can be pain. There can be residue. This morning on our walk this morning, Peggy and I were walking early. We take our dogs on a little lap around the block. Thinking about this, when God says, I want you to ask me to help you release, get free of that thing that you have forgiven, but yet there's residue. And I said, you know, I've tried. I've said, Lord, I forgive that person for that thing, but there's still that residue. Well, this morning, I said, what if I said, Peggy, I forgive so-and-so for what he did, and I named it, and I said, and this is how it affected me, because I felt like he was lying to me, and then discovered that maybe he was lying to me, or maybe it was just got crooked. What if I just said that to the Lord? And as we were walking, and as I said that to Peggy, she said, well, how do you feel about that now? And I said, I feel really good. That junk is gone. That I'm praying now for that guy, blessing. The residue was gone. The Holy Spirit kept leading me along and says, okay, voice it, speak it. Not just think it. I'm going to forgive that person because what they did. Okay, I forgive that person for what they did. And be released and be free. And another one of those things where Spirit-inspired spontaneity can be to help you walk with Jesus closely. To be free in yourself. To be obedient to Him. To be a blessing to others, whether it be one or multitudes. We want to hear the voice of the Lord and respond. Amen? Thank you, Philip, for being such a Spirit-inspired guy. God bless you. Cassidy? Come on with that.
Thank you for that. Louis 1.0. I really enjoyed what stuck out was that idea that it's not always in the hearing. It's a lot of times it's in the actually obeying and acting on hearing God's voice. Are you familiar with the term full send? Okay. Don't worry, I'll tell you. Full send, it's a slang term. It kind of started in like extreme sports, but now people just use it as a term, right? It means to go, when you go full send, you go 100%. You just go at it, not worried about the outcome, if you're going to fail or not, and like not caring about just the repercussions, right? You just go and just leave it all out there. And in fact, yesterday, when you're training for a marathon, most of the long runs are like slow and really long, but then a couple times they have like check-in runs where you like run a half marathon for time. Yesterday was one of those, and then the morning I was like, it's full send kind of day. But that idea of just going no matter what. And then we've been watching the CrossFit games this weekend, and there's been a couple moments where those athletes just go full send, right? You can tell they're just going, they do not care if they collapse after the workout. They are just going to leave it all out there. And I've been thinking about that, and just talking like, I was thinking about the idea of full send. I was like, I want to be full send for God, right? I don't want to care about the outcome. And I think it's a lot of times when we hear God's voice and instruction, what we're worried about, like, why don't we act on it? Well, we're afraid of what the outcome might be. We're afraid that we might fail, or what He'll then tell us to do next, or, you know, whatever's after it, not knowing. But when we go full send for God, right, you hear Him, you just go. You don't care about the possibility of failure. You don't care about the outcome, right? You just go. And I think, you know, Philip was full send, or the eunuch, when he heard Philip told him about Jesus and about baptism, and he just goes, well, there's some water, right? That's pretty much just go for it. No hesitation. And so that's what I was thinking about when you were sharing that. And, you know, when God talks to me and I don't, when I haven't responded on it right away or acted on it, that, like, sits with me, right? Like, it sits with you until you do something about it. And you're like, man, I missed it, I blew it, whatever. But every time that I've acted, I've never regretted it, right? It's always fun. that Holy Spirit-led spontaneity. So anyway, that was, you thought you were done, but that was Sermon 2.0, I guess. anyway, so with that, I'm going to pray, actually, I'm going to pray first about that Holy Spirit-led spontaneity. Then I'll bless you, and we'll have people back here for prayer. So if you're feeling nudged, full send, go. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. God, we thank you for Louis Sr. and what he is for our church community, that you have brought him here, Lord, to now minister to us and pour into us, Lord. We thank you for that message that he shared of how we can be Holy Spirit-led spontaneity, God, how we can practice it and what it can do. And we thank you that you give us that, because it is fun, because you do awesome things. And I hope that we just commit to that today, Lord, to learn to listen to you, but not only hear, but to act on it, God, to go full send for you, whatever you tell us to do, to just go not worried about the outcome or what's going to happen, but trusting that you are instructing it to us for a reason, Lord. Lord, I just pray that over us today, that boldness, that confidence to go after you. And over our church body, Lord, I just pray the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So go with peace.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us via email at web@hillside4.org. That's web@hillside4.org.